Bone broth.
Midweek freak treat. Shut your mouth, please. The Beverlys. Episode 8. The Big Beverly Interview. I'm Adam, and you're in.
And I'm Steve. I thought there was a moment of time that I had to say bone broth, bone broth, bone broth.
Are you drinking a bone broth this week?
You know I am. That's why I had to say bone broth and interrupt you.
For the series finale of The Beverlys.
This is, I don't think this is going to get a reprieve. They're not going to put more money into this, unfortunately.
I don't think we're going to get The Beverlys Reloaded.
Maybe like a high school reunion in like 10 years.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be really good.
I'd be totally into them revisiting it, especially the revelations that we, like, to expand upon the revelations we receive in this episode. I very much would love to see at least the Royal Beverlys coming back in some capacity later on in the future.
I need this to get fleshed out. I need to see the Beverlys outside of that mansion.
Well, good luck. You're never going to see it. The best you can hope for is that people we love come to the mansion, but no such luck for this series, but maybe in the future.
I honestly thought we were going to be on the set of Wake Up Malibu.
My brother, you and me both. This episode opens with an absolute bombshell of a revelation. The Beverlys have a big interview coming up that day, the Big Beverly Interview. And it is revealed, they get so excited because they think they're going to be on Wake Up Malibu with Holiday Sinclair and Dan Marshall, and they name drop those two constantly.
At a moment like this, I was so happy. I welled up with absolute joy. This series finally became worth it. Yeah. I felt whole again, and I was just so excited because I was like, they have the sets right there. They have the people connected to Netflix, and we're finally going to see the apex of the Royal Beverlys.
Yeah, we're going to get our Avengers Endgame moment where, you know, Holiday Sinclair and Dan Marshall walk onto the scene, well, the problem is I've called those every other character they've played those names, so I don't remember anyone else's names. Who's hitting the brakes? Was it Randy Wilcox? That's his name. Oof.
Hitting the brakes. Well, you know.
Yeah, Pureflix like made a post on Instagram today about hitting the brakes, and it might have been David Ayer White himself. And so I made sure to comment on it. Well, you were a race car driver driving around the track, and then, whoa, you crashed into the wall.
He must say that to himself all the time. Like, yeah. We do it, so he must just be, like, riddled with that in his life.
Yeah, he created it. He's the genesis behind it, if you'll, you know, pardon an expression. But
like Dan Marshall or David A.R. White is at the bootlegger in the airport.
Of course.
And, you know, the lovely assistant gives him the total, and he's like, whoa, I crashed into a total. And then,
right, he's getting his pre-flight jeans, and then he's all set,
sipping on his booster juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of it purchased after going through security. Don't worry, he wasn't sneaking anything in.
Well, he purchases one before security just to see if he could sneak it through, and then dumps it.
No,
because he never gets.
He slams it. He chugs it down. So he chugs it down faster than you drink a bone broth. And then he goes through security and he buys another one because he doesn't want to get seen by the paparazzi without a booster juice in his hand.
Yeah, and the people around the airport know him from his Pureflix ways.
Yeah.
And you can't be a Hollywood star without a booster juice.
That's true. Some of them know him from his Hollywood ways. Some of them just think he's that guy who flies a lot with booster juice. They think he's a booster juice rep because of how much he drinks. But some of them do. They go, oh my God, it's Revelation Roads, David A.R. White. Oh my God.
It's that Burt Reynolds show, David A.R. Wright.
Oh, it's it's Burt Reynolds' son, David A.R. Wright. And he goes, well, I don't know. Sure. Whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Close enough. I'll take it, he says.
God bless you, he says, as he walks away, flipping two birds at him for getting his name wrong.
Listen up.
Yeah, I wonder how often, like, all of these people just quote their own theme songs. It's got to be constant, right?
David Ayer-White does it all the time. He flips double birds at people and goes, whoa, crash into these.
He goes, wake up, it's a new day dawning. He hits him with a double bird, and that's the David Ayer-White special.
Like, after we watch Malibu Dan, the Family Man, and hitting the brakes, I thought this episode was going to be the perfect culmination of this trifecta of shows that Pureflix has done. And guess what? It was not.
No, it's not. It's not. And the most frustrating part is we know David's no stranger to, like, green screen acting with himself. We've seen Holy Man Undercover. He plays two great characters in that. Why can't he play Malibu Dan and Randy Wilcox in the same thing? That, give it to us, David. Give it to me, Daddy. I want it.
He's probably right there, like across the hall or something.
Yeah. Of course, he's behind the camera. He helped produce it for sure. Maybe write some of it. I don't know.
Executive produce for sure. It has to be the King's producing, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so. You're talking about like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King himself.
The King. He is our daddy, and we love him.
Exactly. Yeah, Don King. We love him.
So, record scratch. Turns out, Holiday Sinclair is not coming to interview them at all.
No, no. But don't worry, they are going to say her name about 25 times in this episode. So you're going to be reminded of how sad it is that she's not there.
The only upside to Holiday Sinclair not being there and Malibu Dan the Family Man not being a part of this wonderful episode is that they do mention Rick Tibbs in the morning. And that's fun.
Exactly. Because that's who their interview is actually with. Not with Rick Tibbs, of course. We get introduced to a new character in the Malibu Dan universe, and that, of course, would be Rick Tibbs' co-host Chance Everly, a serious journalist.
Why couldn't they get Rick Tibbs? Like, just make a Rick Tibbs.
Right? Why can't you just have Rick Tibbs in the Weekly Top 40? Just make it happen.
Or make the lady, the very British lady that comes to interview them, be Rick Tibbs.
Yeah.
That's a woman's name.
Sure, why not? It's Ronnie Deutsch. It's Rick Tibbs. It's all the same. It's fine. She's very serious and very successful as a journalist.
Best acting we've probably seen on this show, though.
I don't know. I'm partial to the Martin School. The Martin School of acting.
Martin does know how to be, like, light and fluffy and effervescent. Mm-hmm. He's a man of the people.
He's criminally underused in this series finale. He has one scene at the start, and then that's it.
He's a Mexican criminal, for sure.
Oh, yeah, he's a kingpin. He pulls a giant bag of cocaine out of his pocket at the end of the scene. I think. My connection wasn't great, so it was kind of blurry, but he just pulled a large Ziploc bag full of white out of the inside of his pocket at one point. And I went, oh, okay, well, cool, Martin, go for it.
I think you're supposed to think that it's powdered sugar, but, you know, it's the entertainment industry. You got to do cocaine at some point.
Yeah, of course. Well, plus, he pulls that out, and then he goes, I've got a rolled up 100 and a hard d-. Who's doing lines with me?
Who wouldn't? Tommy Blaze is in there. This is how you get Holiday Sinclair and Dan Marshall.
Well, this is how you get Arlen, for sure.
Darlin' Arlen. Sorry, I just took a big gulp of bone broth.
I assure you, I have plenty of confidence, little girl. I slept with Arlen. How do you think I got Rick Tibbs in the morning? By sleeping with Arlen.
That would take a lot of confidence to sleep with Arlen. Like, him on top of me, just sweating with his, like, beaded hair on his chest. I don't think so.
Oh, we went opposite ways.
Oh, yeah, that got it for you?
Yeah, I was gonna nut.
Do you think those gaunt eyes of him really help him out when he's teaching acting? Like, new people coming to Hollywood step into his room, pay the $500, mm-hmm. and then he comes out and it's all black leotard and is like, you know, black turtleneck, and they see those gaunt eyes, and they're like, this guy knows acting.
They go, this guy put on a black leotard and a black turtleneck. He must be roasting right now.
Well, you gotta crank up the air conditioning. You're in California, so everybody's got it. Everybody's wet.
Yeah, oh yeah. They're in California. Everyone's wet. I think that's what Wake Up Malibu taught us.
Well, from what I know about California is that every acting class takes a part in a very black basement
theater
studio.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. Listeners, if you want to just start sending us money, we will take online Heller method lessons and waste Brad Heller's time on our dime, on your dime. But, send any money to pureboyspod@gmail.com, and we will happily turn it into an acting tour de force from us.
It'd be really helpful if you knew how to create websites and could, like, create a website for us that could take donations in. Maybe, like, a huge PayPal button or, like, give us your money. Maybe we should make our button a cross.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, and it just says, like, press here for forgiveness, but every time you press it, it takes between $20 to $150 out of your wallet.
Yeah, your Gmail wallet comes up right away and says, thank you for giving $15 to the Heller method.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving us the password to your blockchain. We've now stolen all your NFTs, and buddy, we're laughing over here.
And the cancel button actually gives us the money. You think you already gave it, but you have to press the button.
Yeah, it's a really good prank. It's a really good prank that's going to get us lessons from El Maestro, Brad Heller.
I kind of want to go down and just on soak up his rays.
Oh, yeah, to just bask in his warmth. You know, he's just... He exudes confidence in Hollyweird, and that's what you want from a teacher. He's somebody who has been down and dirty in the trenches, teaching Jeffrey Dean Morgan how to act, and that guy is maybe still on The Walking Dead. So, you know, success is all around Brad Heller. It just maybe hasn't found Brad Heller yet.
I think it has. I would assume that he has one of the largest mansions in California.
Are you saying that the mansion that the Beverlys is filmed in is Brad Heller's, his castle?
I think that he gave them permission for a day to shoot for probably $10,000.
Oh, he gave them permission, but they paid him a large sum of money.
Yeah, you have permission to give me $10,000 to use my house for a couple of hours.
And then he turns around and goes, and God provided, and there it is.
And God provided.
Man, we're never going to have to, like, listen to that song ever again.
I'm happy.
Yeah, out of all the theme songs, it was certainly the, I don't know, the least memorable, I guess.
It did earworm me, though. Like, I was singing And God Provided in my head once in a while. Mm-hmm. I was thinking upon the theme song, so it worked enough. I guess it was still definitely the three out of the three.
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of which, should we go through and do our, this is something that we should have done during hitting the breaks, but we just thought of it now. So when we finish up a midweek freak treat, I guess not including Fat Chance because that doesn't have a theme song. We're going to be doing a theme song retrospective. I should have put together music or something for it, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So basically, what we're going to do is we're going to see if we remember the theme songs from... Because it's easily the most important part of all these shows, is the theme song. And so, let's start with the Beverlys, and then we'll work our way back through Hitting the Brakes to Malibu Dan the Family Man. How's that sound?
That's certainly the more entertaining version of it, and the way I want to do it.
Well, good. Okay. Well, then why don't you start us off with a little taste of the Beverlys?
Wake up! It's a new day dawning!
No!
Listen up!
Yeah, there you go. This is our story. We just did it
about
like 2 minutes ago.
How we became the Beverlys.
Yeah. We were three girls from three different worlds, and we all collided.
They all collided?
I think that's what they say, yeah.
And then God provided.
Well, felt so
alone. I know
alone.
There's a line in there.
Felt so alone, all hope was gone, then God provided. And then Mr. Beverly took us in. Something, then it begins. Having the time of our life, and you're all invited.
And it goes on.
Well, now, we're all family. They've got my back. Friends forever, yeah, just like that. This is our chance, taking our stance. Family forever. We are the Beverlys.
Yay!
Come on, you know the next part.
I do not.
Family for life, always tight. The Royal Beverlys. Through twists and turns, we all will learn the Royal Beverlys. Family for life, always tight. The Royal Beverlys. There's that one. How did it not stick with you? It flows off the tongue.
I would have to say that, like, I took bits and parts. My brain doesn't put the whole thing together. I just have... I'll just, like, be sitting there, and I'll go, listen up. Or I'll go, just like that.
Right. But you don't know where it appears in the song.
I have no idea. My brain couldn't tell you where the butt and where the mouth is of that song.
All right, well, do you think you can remember the lyrics to Hitting the Brakes?
I need, like, the first word.
I.
Second word.
Was.
Oh, yeah. I was a race car driver going round and round, and then, whoa, I crashed into my balls.
Yeah, and?
I don't know. Give it to me. Next one.
My family told me that I had to stop, so I took him to the mountaintop, and now we're going slow.
Slow. Now we're in a hotel.
I gave it up for my family's sake. I'm in the brakes. In the brakes. In the brakes. Ah, beautiful.
Now that was fun. Let's do that again.
All right. I was a race car.
Go around and round and round and then whoa.
I crashed into my balls. Yeah, beautiful. That's a good one. See, Beverly's, listen up. That's how you make a memorable theme song. We only watched 10 episodes of that. We watched 8 episodes of the Royal Beverlys. We had Hitting the Brakes locked down after, like, episode 2. We knew every word to it. So, and had studied the footage and figured out what NASCAR crash it was actually from.
That was a beautiful place of detectiveness. Give it up to you. That was absolutely wonderful for the podcast.
God is good.
And we just watched an episode of the Beverlys. Like, that should be in our mind like that, but it's not.
Nah, just not. It's too long. It's just too long. There's no whoa. I mean, there's a listen up, and there's We Are the Beverlys. But
they tried to whoa, but it's just not there. Listen up does grab your attention. It should get you into the school spirit and the child mentality, because that's how stupid adults talk to kids.
Yeah, they grab them by the lapels and go, listen up.
Listen up.
All right, we got one left. Do you remember the Malibu Dan, the Family Man theme song?
3, 2, 1. I was a race car.
Well, see, this one is different because it starts with really catchy music, and at least when I picture it, me clapping. So there's a lot of like this, right?
Yeah.
But it does
wake
also...
Wake up!
Exactly. It has a nice command, yeah. To a new day dawning!
A picture paints a million words in this town.
Everyone take their place, who's needed!
And then that happens for like 30 seconds. Yeah. Part happens a long, long time.
The happening news today. Foggy skies turn blue today. In Malibu. And it's going the whole time. Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. Spooky, spooky ghost stuff.
And that's also happening.
Well, yeah. And the Malibu is a very spooky place. I think we talked about that during the episode.
Probably the spookiest place I can imagine. After Transylvania, of course.
And it's in California, so it's even spookier.
Whoa, that might be the scariest place of all. By the way, great job on the theme songs.
Well, great job on the theme songs to you. Thank you for giving me the prompts I required.
Of course.
As our Lord and Savior brings down upon us.
Of course. God is good.
Gunn is great. He is our king.
Let us thank him for this food.
Okay.
All right, yeah. I do love that at the end of the episode, the, like, Chance Everly is talking to the girls about, oh, like, isn't being a princess kind of like foo-foo, like, fluffy garbage nonsense? Don't you? It's like waiting for, like, a man to come and save you. And then Jamie has the audacity to look her in the face and go, we don't need a guy to come and save us because Jesus already has.
Is Jesus a man, though? He's more of a king.
Well, he's not your mother. He's a man, baby.
Maybe he had both stuff.
Maybe. Yeah, you know, he hung out with 12 dudes and prostitutes. So, yeah, maybe he was just like, chuck it and, well, whatever.
He was a fan of all flavors for sure. I think this kind of proves it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you don't think Jesus was getting, like, wicky wild on the side, he definitely was. Out there in the desert, like, what are you going to do? Not nut? I mean, we've talked about this before. Jesus yeah. loved a nut.
He turned water into wine. That's a party dude.
Yeah, he liked to get people a little liquored up and then be like, hey, come back to my cave. Look how freaky it gets in here.
Let's get wet in this desert.
Yeah, well, my dad watches. Is that okay? He's just going to be watching the whole time.
Or myself watches. I never get if God's his father or they're the same person or the Holy Spirit somewhere around there. I don't know what's going on.
You know, I don't know. It's we've been doing this show over a year now, and we still haven't found the answer to what God, the Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are. Are they one or are they separate things? Probably separate, hey?
Yeah, probably separate.
Yeah.
Spit noise.
Grab your crotch, fart. Yeah, you know, classic stuff.
I think we should get a Bible expert on this show and ask him.
You mean David Arrowhite?
He's got to know.
When we have David Arrowhite on the show for an interview, all we'll do is just quiz him about the Bible.
Like, quote a bunch of, like, passages and get his take on it or, like, tell us, get him to tell us what that means.
We'll do a mixture of things where we have quotes that we love, such as, like, that one about the woman who's loved dudes with big donkey dinks and whose farts were really smelly. And also we'll just be like, theologians, 6:12, what is it, David? How well do you know the Bible? Yeah. He'll be like, I don't know that one. And we'll go, well, you're a fraud then, bud. How's that sound? Yeah.
Please recite it to us and then explain and why.
Yeah, we're going to change our names to the Gotcha Boys for that episode.
Yeah, we need to make sure we queue up a lot of gotcha sound effects for that episode. Maybe like a gong or like a light shedding on a meadow.
Oh, see, I'm thinking different. I'm thinking like the sound of a prison door slamming.
Oh, yeah, that stuff, too, sure.
So we'll have a bunch of different sounds. The, like light shining down, prison door slamming, handcuff sound going on, whatever the first suggestion you made was, which I think was really good as well.
Gong.
A gong, yeah.
Sirens.
Oh, what's that? Oh, that's the gotcha gong, David. You don't know the Bible very well. You're a fraud.
No, guys, I don't know if I want to be doing this episode anymore. I feel like you gotched me already.
You hounded my Twitter mercilessly saying this was going to be a fluff piece, and then as soon as I showed up, you started boom gotching me, and honestly, I just feel very threatened by my presence here.
So, first thing we're going to do with our money off of our, stolen money website is go to the Heller Method. Second thing we do is give it all to David Arrowhite and tell him we're going to fluff him up like nobody's business.
Well, that's the thing. We need to take the classes from Brad Heller so we can act our way through the initial meetings and phone calls to get David's trust and to have him believe that this isn't going to be a gotcha interview. And then he shows up and it's just gotcha all the way down.
So we're in the Heller Method. Yeah. We're in the studio. He's all, you know, leotarded and turtlenecked up.
Oh, yeah.
And we ask him, hey, for instance, say we're a bunch of jabronis trying to get David Arrowhite. How would you go about that?
How would you contact him? Tell us the exact method you would contact him and how you would go about reaching out to David Arrowhite. And he would go, well, I would text him on my cell phone at this number. And we go, oh, that's interesting. Gotcha, Brad Heller. And then that's where the gotchas start, and they never stop.
I think originally he'd be like, wait a second, what are you guys doing? And then we lube him up with for instances and improv, and we really want to be his pupils.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. We present this to him at the end of the course. So at that point, we're already masters of the Heller method, and it's easy to lie to anyone at that point. That's why we're
We've gone
it.
Golfing with him.
Oh,
We've
yeah.
done the poker nights. Mm-hmm. We're his best friend.
We played basketball with him till 3 in the morning. You know, we're just doing the things that friends do.
Racquetball. I'm assuming he plays a lot of racquetball.
Oh, yeah. He probably calls it squash. He probably plays a lot of squash.
You guys coming down to the courts tonight?
Hey, it's guests getting free at the squash courts tonight, guys. Who's coming? Half of a storm.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah.
Of course we're coming.
And then we don't show up. All we do is we send a card in our place that just says, gotcha on it. And then the police arrive.
I hope we can buddy up with like Will Smith or David Arquette or something.
Sure.
And we can send him to the Heller method or to the squash court. To deny Heller of her presence.
I love that you picked like the two biggest stars in Hollyweird, Will Smith and David Arquette. That's when I think of royalty, Hollywood royalty. That's who I think of.
Well, you have two shades of the same person.
Yeah, exactly. You've got Wild Wild West, Will Smith, and WCW's David Arquette, and that's the whole thing. That's all of it. What else do you need?
Jaden Smith.
Well, that's the thing, right? If we're going to get Will Smith, we might as well just get Jaden Smith. And then we're one degree of separation from Jackie Chan. And then we just send Jackie Chan in our place. And he boom gotches you.
Well, Jaden must know Jackie Chan by now.
They made a movie by together. Now. They made a movie together. It's called The Karate Kid.
I heard that Jackie Chan doesn't learn the names of his co-stars until a couple of years later. Because he doesn't really want to, like, focus on the real human being that he's dealing with.
Right, he's Heller method acting. And he's so deep into it that he is John Wayne.
Which I think might be the opposite of what the Heller method is. So they might collide.
I think so too, yeah. That's why Jackie Chan has never won an Oscar. Because he's approaching acting from two very different places. And they're constantly at war, tugging at him. And he just can't focus on his performances. He's too busy focusing on, oh, do I act for my emotions? Or am I John Wayne? You know, it's...
Probably... really comes back to him being John Wayne.
I think so, yeah. I mean, most of his movies after Shanghai Noon came out, he just was like, you know what, just, you know, don't bother thinking of a new name for my character. Just call me John Wayne in this one.
That's why his modern movies haven't really taken off like those older, you know, Rush Hours and your Shanghai Noons, is because he's still John Wayne.
Yeah, he's John Wayne in everything now. You see him in Around the World in 80 Days opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he goes, hello, I'm John Wayne. Enjoy your balloon ride.
Also explains why he hates weed so much.
Oh, yeah, of course. He's like, I'd prefer opium, please.
Send me to the next opium den, please.
Now, I've only seen Shanghai Nights on the TV at the Sony store, as we've previously established. But I don't remember, is there a scene with opium? Did they go to an opium den in that movie?
Yeah.
Huh. Have you ever done opium?
No, but it sounds luxurious. Damn it. Like, if you want to do drugs, but also be classy and make a lot of money, you go to an opium den.
You open an opium den?
Yeah. Well, that would be the life. Why don't we have opium dens anymore?
Oh, for real, right? Just wearing silk robes and laying on chaise lounges and just hitting your opium pipe and all your troubles disappear.
We should really talk to the Prime Minister of Haiti and see if he will allow us to open an opium den with the promise that we will make every customer wear all of the silk.
A government-sponsored opium den. Now we're talking. Sponsored by Wi-Fi Clef Jean. That's brilliant.
A government-sponsored opium den. Silk mandatory.
Yeah, of course. Sponsored by Big Silk.
Not the milk. Although we could get them involved too.
Oh, we should get the milk involved. Yeah, it should definitely be just like a lot of milk. It's silk. It's silk as far as the eye can see. But that only means the almond milk or the cashew or whatever kind of milk it is. Not cow milk.
I also want to wear silk. So I feel like whatever silk touches, we should allow at our opium den.
Right. We're like a King Midas, but everything we touch turns to silk. And that means the almond milk.
Yeah, we're like the sun in this universe.
Right, and the Father and the Holy Spirit.
But in our situation, instead of sun and godly rays, we have silk.
Exactly. We've got endless... We've got a majority share in silk.
Okay. Endless silk, the opium den.
Mmm, I like it. Yeah. What about bottomless silk, the opium den? Then that kind
of... I like it.
That's a lot of, you know, a lot of... That's a bit of a tease, a little, you know, oh, what could that mean? And then you find out, oh, it's just as much almond milk as you can possibly handle when you're high on opium. You were wearing pants, damn it. Don't take them off.
Imagine going to an opium den and you're already jazzed because it's a new experience. You're probably traveling from some dumb place like Connecticut.
Yeah.
You're draped in silk. Mm. You get on your chaise lounge. Mm. And then a little curtain opens and it's this little beautiful fridge filled with silk milk.
Yum. You're hitting opium pipes. You're trying all kinds of different milks. Maybe I'd like a coconut milk. Maybe I want a cashew milk. Maybe I want an almond milk. Well, guess what, baby? We got you covered with all of them. This is bottomless silk.
This is bottomless silk. It's, you know, one of those glass refrigerator doors where you can see, like, everything in it. And it has those beautiful LED lights.
Oh, yeah.
Just very much emphasizing that this is not only an opium den, but a place to try different silk milks.
Yeah, you get your own Martin, essentially. Your Martin? You get your own Martin who comes in and he serves you the silk and he tells you, he asks you, what silk would you like to try next? And you go, well, what do you got? And he goes, well, we've got sugar-free almond. And you go, that doesn't sound very good, but I guess I'll try that one.
And yeah, you're very blasé about it because you're from, well, Connecticut and you're high on opium by this point because it's in the air.
Yeah, you walk in and you're already getting a contact high. So by the time you lay down on your chaise lounge and crack open a nice carton of silk, you're already like two sheets to the wind at least.
Rich people are so bored with life. All the stupid everyday rules, they've already passed that. They want to go to an opium den and drink luxurious milks.
Oh,
Very expensive.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the cost of... In this economy? Oh, my goodness. Bottomless silk, it's a steal of a deal.
We're talking chilled glasses, monogrammed if you want. You have to book ahead for that, but that's a premium service.
Of course. We've got a guy in the back who'll chisel your name into a glass. Into a glass.
We got brass glasses. We got aluminum glasses. We got silver, gold, platinum.
Silk-lined glasses. We've got it all.
We got a glass filled with milk.
Yeah.
Oh, like the lining of it is white, and they like inject milk into the glass.
Oh, it's filled with dirty, rotten milk that's been in there for years, and you're drinking silk on top of that.
Well, it's pressure sealed, but it will mold.
Yeah.
It will go bad, but that's the essence of milk.
Oh, yeah. You don't take the fish out of your platform shoes. Their death is a part of your performance.
Mm-hmm. We really want to emphasize the death and the performance part of it, for sure.
I mean, I don't know how water-resistant silk is. I'm going to guess not at all, but imagine, if you will, a silk bag filled with delicious silk milk, and Martin holds it over your face as you're ripping your opium pipe, and he delicately slices the bottom of that silk bag open, and almond milk just pours into your mouth, and threads of silk, of course.
A very sharp knife, maybe something that's, like, killed a human before and been cleaned.
Of course. Cleaned, sort of. There's a bit of blood near the hilt, but you notice that because you're on opium and the world's kind of slowed down. And you go, like, there's blood on that knife. I hope it's not my blood, but you're too high to really understand what's going on.
Honestly, at this point, it might just all be the opium. There might not be any milk involved. You really don't know what is happening.
No. You wake up wet and you don't know where it's from.
Could I be in California? I don't know.
Hey, speaking of getting wet, I realized at the end of this episode, at the end of this series, that this series was filmed in Oklahoma.
What?
That's what
Oklahoma?
It says. It says at the very last credit is filmed in Oklahoma with the Oklahoma Film Tax Credit. there's only five places on the show, and there's only six cast members. So that mansion that they filmed in must have been in Oklahoma.
This could only happen in Trump's America. There's no way they filmed there. They should have been raked over the coals by the tax people. Because it's all California, baby.
No, I mean, they say it is, but California is standing in for, much like when Toronto stands in for New York in movies, Oklahoma's standing in for Comifornia.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's what the citizens of Oklahoma said.
That's all honestly ruined this show for me.
I hate the Royal Beverleys. I never want to watch it again. Hey, what's rule number eight?
Rule number eight is always celebrate your differences for some reason.
Yeah, not a thing that was ever addressed on the show, not a part of the episode, just, I thought it was going to be like, love God, the way they talked about it, but nah, just celebrate your differences.
Remember Jesus saved you or something connected to the episode or, I don't know, Holiday Sinclair.
Yeah. What did you think of the Royal, what did you think of the Beverleys?
Honestly, it's not called the Royal Beverleys, which is another sticking point for me that I really hated.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that this show was not made for me. Right. I am a 30-year-old fembot from Haiti.
That's a liar.
And
30.
This just isn't for me.
Right. Yeah.
But having said that, this was probably one of the worst television experiences I've ever consumed in my entire life. I think they gave up. I think they did like two or three episodes and said, nah, can it? But they had contracts, so they just like filmed some stuff. And it was absolutely terrible. Now, Adam, I know that we've had some strife with this series, but what did you think of the Beverly?
Oh, I loved it. It's probably the best series that we've ever done on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, it, you know, not the target audience. But also, I don't think kids would like this show. Like, it's not funny in the way that kids find things funny. It's very, like, weird adult references, like, talking about, like, the Lone Ranger and, you know, like, just weird adult stuff written by boomers. No, like, zaniness or wackiness or, like, no, like, cartoonishness on it, which is what you're going to need to appeal to kids, and then just, like, ham-fisted Jesus stuff all over the place, and I don't know. I don't know who this show was for. I know they would say it's for little girls, but would little girls like this show? Would they like the music? Because I didn't like the music, especially this last performance that we got. It's easily their worst song they've ever performed. It's barely written, but I would say 3 out of 10 for the Beverleys.
I think you summarized that expertly. I don't think any young girl would like this at all. And I think it's definitely a C-.
Well, until next time when we finally get to talking about whatever that show is called. Hitting the motorcycle brakes. What was that show called?
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. See you all in hell. The Beverleys. The Beverleys. This midweek free treat is almost as long as this week's episode.